Good morning. Welcome to the sixth Sunday in Lent. Where did that go? Doesn't seem 5 minutes since I was saying Lent started. But as we come this morning to celebrate and to remember in prayer, as we call it now Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Some call it the tearful entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But as we start Holy Week, before in 1 week's time we'll be celebrating Jesus' glorious resurrection. And this morning we're going to consider, after all of the shouts of praise that Jesus would have heard on Palm Sunday, how later on in that week Jesus went on to pray for each one of us, those that would follow on after those first disciples. So, are we prepared to journey with him this morning? Born ready, yeah? As we look at everything that happened that week, are we prepared to be transformed by him? And so, sisters and brothers in Christ, for the 5 weeks of Lent, we have been preparing for the celebration of our Lord's suffering and death. Today, with the whole worldwide church, we begin this Holy Week by welcoming our Messiah. So like the people of long ago, let us welcome Jesus and follow him to the cross. Amen. So we'll sing number 9, All Glory, Lord and Honour. And Lord is an oldie worldie word for praise as we prepare for the Passion Week. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we remember how Christ our King entered Jerusalem to the sound of joyful shouts, increase our faith and listen to our prayers so that we may praise you every day by living always in him. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. As the people spread their coats, palm branches on the ground to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem, so we welcome him into our lives this morning. King of glory, King of peace, servant King, reign in our hearts and lives this day and all days. God of all time and places, we confess that we would rather join the crowds than stand alone. We may prefer the popular point of view to a solitary witness for justice and truth. We like safety and security while shrinking from the risk of involvement. We'll sing Hosanna when everybody else is, but not with the hostile Good Friday forces may hear us. Lord, we're sorry that sometimes we have to admit our lukewarm response to you. But Lord, we believe that you came into this world to save sinners. We know that that means us. We ask, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, to be patient with us, to help us understand our own guilt and shame, knowing that you will pour out your forgiveness in such a way that we will be forever transformed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would enter our lives. Enter our churches, our towns, our communities, our countries, once again today. That you would heal us, transform us, renew us, draw us closer to you in this journey of Holy Week. Empower us with strength and courage, and with the assurance that you are with us, Lord, that you promise. And so we'll join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we continue in worship, as we sing number 580, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. I love the way that our predecessors were so eloquent in the way that they expressed the events of that Passion Week. And let's not lose the significance for each of us as we sing these words together. 580.
Thank you.
As we remember the events of Palm Sunday this morning, I won't get you again until Good Friday. So we're going to do Holy Week in a session. Because over these last weeks of Lent studies and on the Sundays that followed, we've been sharing the chapters in John of Jesus' farewell discourse, in which he's been giving last minute instructions and also words of comfort and assurance to his closest disciples. And these lessons compose a large part of the Last Supper gathering that we'll be thinking about, well, you will, on Thursday. Again, the teachings of Jesus have several warnings about persecution, but also with the encouragement that the Holy Spirit will come. And that's why we sit here not as defeated people, but as victors, because as I always tell you, it turns out all right in the end. As we come to John chapter 17, we read Jesus' high priestly prayer, as I always call it, the real Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus prayed for himself, for his disciples, and for the followers and believers that were to come, making requests on each of our behalves. And then we know that after this, Jesus continued his journey to Gethsemane, where he will be betrayed, arrested, and eventually crucified. And so I'll ask Debbie if she will read that prayer to us.
The reading is John 17, and you'll find it in the Pew Bibles, 1085. 1085. And my Bible, it says, the headline is, Jesus prays to be glorified. So John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours. And all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except for the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, for I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
I think it's important that we heard Jesus' prayer in its entirety, because it covers off so many things that Jesus has been sharing with his disciples, and so many things for us to get our teeth into. It's lovely to think that Jesus expands his prayer to pray for all who will come in faith, into faith in him. And as you were hearing, there was lots of glory and glorify, and lots of talk about unity and being at one with the Father and with Jesus. That's not only a direct command from Christ himself, but the primary characteristic of genuine Christian faith. Non-believers can't see or experience God. So the main mission of us as believers is to demonstrate God's truth to the world. And so we'll think about that in our message. But first we will sing, and we'll sing it through twice, 790. You are the King of Glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can cry with the crowds that first Palm Sunday, Hosanna to the Son of David. And Lord, as we come now to hear your word to each one of us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to hear your word. Open our hearts to share your love. Open our hearts that we would know your and sing your praises, not just here, Lord, but in our daily lives. Amen. So when we were covering this on Friday, and I always have to be careful what questions I ask you lot, because I'm never quite sure what answers are coming back. But I did say, how did you understand the word glory? What did you think about the first time you heard the word glory? So those at Bible study know where we're going with this. Now, being a football fan, the first thing that came into my head was glory, glory. And I'm not going to say that team. But also, when I Googled it, the other red one, when I Googled it, glory, glory isn't just for Man United. It's for Tottenham Hotspur, Leeds United, and even Hibernian. They all sing the same song, glory, glory. And I will say Tottenham Hotspur, because we also learnt that they were the first team who actually used it as their song back in 1960 as they stopped Wolves doing the double. There you go. Sermon over. So I have called this morning's preach Christians United, because we're all in the same team, yes? Doesn't matter what colour we support away from here, we are all Christians United. But it's interesting, and I was thinking, you know, the fact we're doing this reading on Palm Sunday, the fact that the word glory, if we use it as a noun, can mean fame and honour and praise. And we think about as Jesus entered Jerusalem, you know, the word had spread who Jesus was. They were there to praise him. And also, it can mean magnificence, splendor, grandeur, and majesty. And, you know, as we come this morning to think about being Christians United, thinking about the promises that Jesus prayed for each one of us, Jesus glorified God by faithfully completing his earthly mission, or the work, as we call it, that the Father had assigned him, by revealing God's character, teaching his truth, and preparing, as he was that first Palm Sunday, to accomplish salvation through his sacrifice. He glorified God through total obedience, making God's majesty and love visible on earth. And so we see that glory and the ultimately in the redeeming work of the cross. The last hours that Jesus shared with his disciples before he went to the cross ended in a prayer meeting. We know from the Gospels that they've now left the upper room. They're journeying on their way to Gethsemane. We think they stopped somewhere around the temple when Jesus shared this prayer with them. The one who prays, as we read, is Jesus of Nazareth himself. And I would say probably the one who understands more about the nature and possibilities of prayer than anyone who ever lived. From this prayer of Jesus uttered in those dangerous moments when we know that the opposition was closing in, that the shadow of the cross was hanging heavily over him, we can learn a great deal. I've said before, and I've preached it before, and we've done a quiet day on it before, John 17 is a beautiful, inspiring prayer offered by Jesus for his disciples And as it says in verse 20, for all those who will believe in him through their word. So the word that the disciples would go on to spread through the power of the Holy Spirit is why we're sitting in here today, having a reason to praise and to worship. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus prays for us. We thought about that on Friday. How does it feel to know that Jesus prays for us? Had you actually thought about that at all? Some of you are going, ooh, not before Friday. Jesus is praying for us. It's such a gift, isn't it, and a blessing to be prayed for. I know I always personally appreciate everyone who prays for me as leader of the church. And it's a privilege, I hope, for each of us to remember each one of us in our prayers, particularly when we pray for things in detail, more so on Mondays. Prayer is a remarkable gift because it opens up to us God's promises and invites God to help us and those for whom we are praying. But today, as we heard that text, we are reminded that Jesus actually prays for us. What better gift can I give you today than Jesus prays for us? And as we have just heard it, we get to listen on in unto that prayer. There were many times we read in the Gospels that Jesus went off to a quiet place to pray. We don't know what Jesus prayed in those times, but John heard this prayer and faithfully recorded it so that we know what Jesus was praying for. The essence of his prayer centers on the necessity for divine unity, modeled after the oneness of the Father and the Son. The essence is a request for believers to be united in love, enabling them to experience his glory and providing a witness to the world of God's love. And so as we go to verses 20 to 23, he prays for our unity. He prays that we would be one as the Father and Jesus are one. Verse 23 tells us that such unity is a demonstration of the love of God. As the world around us sees our love for Jesus and our love for one another, we pray that they would be compelled to believe on the Lord Jesus too. As we were talking about that on Friday, one of the saddest things is to see a church that is divided, and for so many reasons. It's a sad thing when God's people are divided in such a way that it hinders others from coming to faith in our Lord. Obviously, the devil's really happy when that happens because he doesn't have to do anything because we're doing the devil's work for him. He knows that if he can divide the church, then he will keep those who are lost from being saved. And we know that Jesus came to save the lost and the least. Just as Jesus prayed for our unity, we too must pray that we would be united and that we would not allow anything to hinder us from bringing others to Christ. And that's why we need to sing. There you go, there's my introduction. Glory, glory, Christians united. It will be easy to hear today's gospel as Jesus' departing instructions to his disciples. It would make sense. After all, it's the night of the Last Supper. Jesus knows he's leaving. He will soon be crucified, and the disciples will have to find their way without his physical presence. So why not give some last-minute instructions about how to act, what to do, the way they should treat each other? It's probably what we would do, isn't it, if we were just to go out now. We'd leave some instructions. I know somebody would. Not looking in any direction. But that's not what Jesus is doing, is it? Jesus didn't hand over a to-do list to his disciples. It's not a conversation between Jesus and the disciples, but a prayer from Jesus to the Father, to his Father and to our Father. His prayer isn't only for our benefit, but for the life of the world, so that the world may believe that the Father sent Jesus. Our unity becomes the sacramental presence of God in the world. And when we pray later, how much does our world need God at this time? Our oneness continues the embodiment of God in human flesh and life. This unity is not, however, something that we do or create. Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to be nice to each other, to get along, to eliminate their differences, or to agree upon a common plan or purpose. He doesn't prescribe tolerance, uniformity, harmony, or consensus. We're not recipients of instructions, but the subjects and the beneficiaries of Jesus' prayer. Jesus prays three times in that last section for oneness, that they may all be one, that they may be one, that they may become completely one. The oneness for which he prays is modelled on the unity of the Father that the Father and Jesus shared in their lives. He prays that we would be completely one as they are one. In those words, Jesus echoes the ancient Jewish prayer that we hear in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. That Jesus is praying to the Father for our oneness rather than giving instructions means that the unity is of and from God. It's not something that we do or create. It's the very life and being of God in us. We do not establish unity. We participate and manifest to the world the already existing oneness that comes from God. Doesn't mean to say that we just sit back and say, okay, God, get on with it. We too have a proactive part in answering Jesus' prayer. Our oneness must take a tangible and visible form. If it's to show the world, as we often say through our sacrament, the invisible and spiritual life and presence of God. In some way, our lives in relationship to God and one another become the answer to Jesus' prayer. We can become and live this, however, only when we know ourselves to be God-entrusted rather than self-entrusted. That means our life comes not from ourselves, but from God. That's what allowed Jesus to choose the cross. That's why he prayed rather than instructed. It's how we become one, as Jesus and the Father are one. We can begin looking. The oneness exists, it says, at the intersection of our love for God and our love for one another. Somebody said that the love is the intersection, this bit, of the vertical axis and the horizontal axis. Unity is cross-shaped. I thought that was good, especially on Palm Sunday. That point of intersection is, according to John's account of the gospel, the hour of Christ's glory, his death and resurrection. That's the preeminent image of a God-entrusted life. That's where we find our oneness. That's what we need to show to the world. And as I keep saying, oh, how the world needs it today. When in love for God and each other, we surrender our self-entrusted life to a God-entrusted life. We embody the Father's answer to Jesus' prayer, and we are one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. As we recognize so clearly from God's word, it is not something we labor for, it is something that is given to us. It's in us by the very virtue of the fact that Jesus is in us. but it does require our consent. We need to say yes to Jesus. The Lord is ready to love one another through us anytime we are ready to let ourselves be the channels of that love. That's the whole position of Scripture from beginning to end, that we would love our neighbour. When we are ready to consent to the love that will pour into us from God, we are ready to pour out that love into our community and into the world. With the indwelling of the promised Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, we are able to go and love our neighbour. So in hearing that, can we resolve, are we ready to love every person without exception in whom we sense a love for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, regardless of denominational differences or lack of it, despite any theological differences, because that's what makes us Christians united. I'm ready. God in me and helping me to give myself in love to anyone, anywhere, whom I may chance to meet, who God will put in my path. That's the basis of our Christian unity. So the question that you have to ask yourselves this morning is, are you willing? Jesus prays that we would one day share in his glory. There's a day coming when all who have believed on the Lord Jesus will be together with our Lord. There we will have a new body. There'll be no pain, no sorrow. Then most of all, there will be no sin. We will be forever with the Lord, worshipping, and what a day that will be. All Jesus prayed from that day was made possible through the cross. Without the cross, there is no salvation or sanctification, and that means to be set apart for God, or glorification. Without the cross, we are all hopelessly lost. As we journey through this Holy Week, return to the cross and receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, as I said, you can stay there for a bit. I'm not done yet. As I said on Friday, you're probably thinking, she's forgotten to give us something. Have I forgotten again this morning? No. So your acronym for this morning is not L-E-N-T for Lent. It is E-A-S-T-E-R for Easter. E for everyone. A for anyone. S for salvation. T for today. E for everlasting life. R for resurrection. Everyone, it says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Anyone, John says, whoever believes shall be saved. Salvation, we read in Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. E for everlasting life. Whoever believes on him will have everlasting life. And R, resurrection. Just a few chapters before, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I will be asking you to repeat that back to me. So if you work together, each of you could take a section each. Before you get into coffee. Let's pray. God of grace, we turn together to you in prayer, for it is you who unite us. You are the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom we believe. You alone empower us for good. You send us out across your world in mission and service in the name of Christ. So, Lord, we ask in your name, in your grace, that you would transform us and you would transform the world. Amen. Still not finished. So if you remember, we have prayers that go with our palm crosses. And so if you'd like to take one and pass them on. This is your first act of oneness to share. So although the actions, you're going to need them in your hands, so don't you put them anywhere safe.
Oh.
So although the actions are the same, the prayers every year seem to be slightly different. As we think again of that Palm Sunday, that first Sunday, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, a large crowd spread their cloaks and the leaves across the road. And that's what John records in his gospel. We share our palm crosses, one as a reminder for you to take home, but also that they were waving them in victory. And we can wave them in victory because, as I say, it all turns out all right in the end. But as I said, our love is the intersection of the cross, but we can also use it to pray. And so, I might want to have to turn around in case you don't know your lefts and your rights. So hold the cross in your right hand. Place your left thumb on the left cross piece as you're looking at it. And as we do that, we will pray for the world. Loving God, we thank you that your peace reaches into every situation across our world. Be close to those places that need your peace this day. Lord, we bring particularly this morning the troubles in the Middle East, with Iran and the US, with Israel and Gaza, with the other countries, Lord, that are joining in. We think of Ukraine and Russia, for the troubles in Yemen, in Myanmar, in Afghanistan. Lord, the list seems endless, and yet we know that you are everywhere. And so we ask that your peace would stretch into those places and into those people. We pray for the leaders of nations and all persons in positions of authority, that their lives may be marked by Christ-like service and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So if you place your left thumb on the right cross piece, and we will pray for people in need. Loving God, we thank you that your hope reaches into every situation. Lord, we pray for those who are oppressed and living in captivity, that they may escape from evil and death. We pray for those who are hungry and thirsty this day, and for those who have too much, that they may learn to share your generous gifts. We pray for those, Lord, who are ill or sad this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. If you pray, place your left thumb on the base of the cross piece, and we will pray for our community. Loving God, we thank you that your joy reaches into our homes. Help us to know that you are with us every day. Lord, we think of those who are dealing with loss or facing death, that the presence of Christ may bless and keep them. We pray, Lord, for those who are suffering with the anxieties of ill health. Lord, that you would draw close to them and that they would know you. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray and know that you hear our prayers. Lord, we pray that we would be able to call on your name and in your name for healing for those who need it this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now place your thumb on the top of the cross piece, and we will pray for the churches and the teaching. Loving God, we thank you that your love is shared through your church, not the building, Lord, but your people. Lord, we pray for wisdom to those who help us to know the good news of Jesus. We pray that we would be ever attentive to your word. We pray for the church that bears Christ's name, that the world may know that we are his disciples by the love that we have for one another. Lord, we thank you that we can bring our prayers to you. We thank you for Jesus and the love that he showed us. Help us to follow him more and more each day. Amen. Please hold on to your crosses. Use them in the week to pray with if you'd like to. And so, as we remember that we come to worship and celebrate the King of Glory, let's give God the glory. Number 708. and you're welcome to join us on Good Friday for a service of reflection as we gather around the cross. And on Easter Sunday morning, our first service and breakfast, if you want an egg of the hen variety, please see, you might have some chocolate if you're good, please see Kathy, that is Kathy, waving her cross. And again at 10:30 as we celebrate Resurrection Morning. Let's pray. Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, you have made us one with your saints in heaven and on earth. Help us to see your presence burning in the hearts of others. Grant that we may be united in a fellowship of love and prayer. Give us the courage to pick up our cross and respond to the needs of the world. Give us the strength and stamina to follow you, to be your hands and heart in the world. Enable us to witness to your grace and mercy. We pray all of this through the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.